Let me tell you something, guys. When you need a favor, and always need a favor, just call on Don Tony.
Don Tony?
He comes through.
Don Tony? What is this? Oh, you can't bring dogs in here.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, come on now.
Get fired.
Hey, hey, what's this, man? Oh,
hey,
my
God. Hey, how you doing, man? Oh, look at this, my son.
What's
the difference between you and acne?
I don't know. What is it?
Acne usually comes on a kid's face after they're 12.
That was terrible and distasteful.
Hey, somebody asked for a favor because we give favors out.
Right here.
You know, somebody,
right here asked for a favor.
Somebody thought your name was Vinny, you know that? He's gone. Say hello to Carmine.
There's this Carmine the dog.
As a matter of fact, why don't you just urine on his face, Carmine?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Let's not get it. All right.
Major, you asking for a favor?
Yeah, I'm asking for a favor right here.
We know each other for a while.
That's true. Listen, we need one guy. Richard Tyler couldn't make it. It's 4-on-3. We have an 8-man elimination match tonight. And we need one more guy. And, asking for a favor from Don Tony.
Well, we got the guy for you right here, straight from Brooklyn. Since he's coming out, watch my back. Because we got a bunch of juice heads running around to get him in the course with the title. We don't lend you here. We don't match.
This has nothing to do anywhere.
I'll tell you something. You're embarrassing. You especially here to make
up. Yeah, you're
always a favor. Slap the meat with the face.
Serious.
Right?
As long as you give us the respect we deserve, respect the Don, we won't have no problem.
Nice things up with saying Carmine after that, right, Carmine?
Carmine, any words?
And next time, please do something about your hair when you're in the presence of us Guinness.
Hey, it takes me about an hour and a half to talk about. All right, there you have it.
Just do not.
Gifar.
You'll be all right.
Strong.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Nice. All right,
back to a 4-on-4, baby.
Go with the mask color. Come on, Carmine.
Hey, hello, folks. Jerry Fitzwater here. Let's get back to ringside.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
What's up, everybody? March 25th, 2021. I am back once again. AMA, SDT, TNA, NXT, AEW. What's up, everybody? I hope everybody's doing good tonight. Been a little crazy day for yours truly. This is my way of unwinding from a hard day at the office. Yeah, absolutely, like Left Twix. You screw the haters by having fun. Honestly, that's the best medicine. Having fun, being successful, and just enjoying yourself. Seriously, it's like the best revenge you could give haters out there. Seriously. Sam passed out last night watching the show. Yeah, I passed out too. I was going to do timestamps last night until it was 4:45 this morning. I got up to take a leak. But, excuse me for a minute. Got to do one adjustment. That's one. Ah, there we go. Oh, I have to. Yeah, that's more like it. That's more like it. Gonna have a fun show. Whatever's on your mind, we will talk about. I have some fun retro DT, doing that indie wrestler crap as you saw at the very beginning. All those stories I talked about, the dog. By the way, that's not my dog. If you look at the Goodfellas intro, that was done as a tribute to my dog. My dog was a miniature pincher. The dog in that video was Grim Reefer's dog. The bulldog, that was Reefer's dog, Carmine, for real. And he brought Carmine to the show. And a little backdrop, we decided we were going to have him come out in the storyline. And since it was kid-friendly family entertainment, we were going to have Sabotage steal the dog, kidnap the dog, and then eventually towards the end of the night, we would get the dog back. Unfortunately, accidentally, Sabotage dropped the dog, kind of landed on his head. There was a lot of commotion, and after a few minutes, a couple little kids were seen crying. They thought the dog got hurt. So we had to bring the dog back out later on to show that he was okay. And yes, there is footage of it. You saw the little teaser for the preview pick. I put it on Twitter. I was going to put it on YouTube, but it might be a little offensive to some. There is footage of a canine Bronco Buster. Yes, a bulldog's nuts were in the mouth of Sabotage. Not really, but it looked that way. And great night. And I tell you, at the very, very end of the show, I recorded earlier today an hour of the members-only Q&A. And I talked about it on there as well. When you see the very end, the very last 2 minutes of the retro stuff I put up later on, I really got choked up a little bit. Just looking back in the fun times and everything. And it's just, I think that's something that we're all missing right now. And it's not just because of COVID. Because before COVID, there were a lot of people, we've talked about it before, who have literally traded in their social life. They're out going outside and socializing in public. They traded it in to sit on social media all day long and living this fake life just to get likes. That's a pretty shitty way to go through life. And then a year goes by, and 5 years go by, and 10 years go by, and that's time you'll never get back. And that's what upsets me the most. I look at this retro stuff, I can't get those years back. And it really angers me that I walked out of doing this wrestling stuff when I did. I should have stuck around a hell of a lot longer. Hell of a lot longer. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Oh, and we got a contest today. For everybody who was nice enough and kind enough, I'm sure people who tune in later, it wasn't intentional that tune in later, but I'm going to give you all an advance hint for tonight's contest. Remember, we give away some cash tonight. The hint has to do with a celebrity appearance, a one-shot celebrity appearance on Monday Nitro, a good friend of Hulk Hogan. That should narrow it down quite a bit for a lot of you out there. So that is the topic for tonight's contest. But before we go into anything else, Steve Joseph, he just wanted to send a message. Wait a minute, that doesn't look right. Hold on. I think I might have to fix something over here. Chill out, everybody. If you just bear with me for 1 second, yeah, there is a faux pas with this. Let me fix it. I don't see. That's what I don't like about. I hate anybody out there. You do a program and you set the settings to like auto. Yeah, there we go. And then you turn it on the next day to computer and you didn't touch anything. But for some reason, it decides to like switch things around. Yeah, it just did that. Steve Joseph, when do I see Ronda Rousey coming back? It's interesting you say that because earlier when I was doing the Q&A for the members, somebody had asked, who do I look forward to seeing coming back more than anyone else? And for me, honestly, it's Ronda Rousey. I really want to see Ronda Rousey get back in the game. Let me fix this. Oh, you know me. I can't. Even just the slightest little detail has got to be perfect. I want to see Ronda Rousey come back. The problem is, you know, we already saw a feud with Charlotte. Who do you really want to see Charlotte feud with? You know, that's the big question. And I'm curious, chat room, right now, you had one person that you would like to see Ronda Rousey feud with first. Would you choose Asuka? Would you choose Sasha Banks? Would you choose Bayley? Would you choose Charlotte again? Would you choose Bianca Belair? Would you choose Lana? So, chat room, who would you... Sorry. The opening in the show always has a little kinks here and there. By the way, tonight's show, okay, no Gerolsteiner tonight. Tonight's show is not brought to you by, but... Ark, you've heard of SodaStream, right? Well, I keep hearing that the SodaStream machines have gone to shit. So there was a vendor on Amazon called Ark. I kid you not, Ark. And everybody says their soda machines are great. So I made my own seltzer literally 5 minutes before the show, and this is live. I have not tried it yet. Ooh. Because if this tastes good, it's a lot cheaper than Gerolsteiner. Oh, my God. Burp fests all night long. This is pretty good. My God, a lot of bubbles. So, yeah, if you're looking for one of those, like, seltzer machines, might want to check this one out on Amazon. Ark. How do you come up with a name like that? Ark. I arked. So we got here Asuka, Rhea Ripley. Oh, Rhea Ripley's a good choice. I didn't even think of Rhea Ripley. A lot of Rhea Ripley choices. Now, is it because you think the matches would be competitive or you want Ronda Rousey to just choke her out? Because I can't wait for Rhea Ripley to explode on the scene. And, you know, it's interesting to see people the last 5 days complaining like, oh, Rhea Ripley shows up on Raw and she gets a WrestleMania title shot already. What's up with that? Who else would you put in that position? With all due respect, I'm not trying to criticize her, but Peyton Royce? I mean, who else on the Raw roster right now would you really want to see challenge Asuka at WrestleMania other than Charlotte? Tessa Blanchard is not on the Raw roster. I like your choices, but I honestly don't know when Ronda Rousey comes back. If she doesn't come back the night after WrestleMania, which this year is different because you won't have live fans in attendance, I honestly don't know when you bring her back. Maybe you bring her back for the summertime, but, you know, she was supposed to start a family, and look, there's no time frame on that. You know, they waited, you know, whatever it takes. The one thing you probably don't want to have happen is have Ronda Rousey return, and then 3 months later, she leaves again to have babies. So, you know, I honestly don't know if... Put it this way, if Ronda Rousey comes back, it's going to be after she has children, or her and, you know, her significant other have made a concerted decision to not have children for a few years. You know, that's how I look at it. So I think it really comes down to those two things. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I would like to see it back. But realistically, I don't know. I really don't know, you know. So Fly, seeing Kane get his news that he's going into the Hall of Fame, getting emotional was really cool. Yes, absolutely. You know, I understand why people joke about the Hall of Fame. There is no physical Hall of Fame. But you got to understand that, you know, when your entire life is pro wrestling and you truly ate, bled, slept shit, WWE especially, and to have the company that you had your biggest success from put you in their Hall of Fame, I don't care if it's an internet Hall of Fame, a physical Hall of Fame, whatever it is, you know, to be acknowledged on that level is a sign of respect. It's a sign of respect that, honestly, when you see these wrestlers get choked up and you see Molly Holly getting emotional, you know, how many wrestlers, you know, have you ever seen get word of the news and they acted fake? And what I mean by that is they may have said the right things, but you look in their eyes and you could, you know, you see like, ah, they don't give a shit about the Hall of Fame. It's a $500 payday and that's all they care about. A lot of people don't act that way. You know, maybe the celebrity wing is a little goofy, but, you know, those wrestlers that legitimately shed tears, don't tell me that it doesn't mean anything to them. And you know what's interesting? Most of the people that really criticize this Hall of Fame are the same ones that are criticizing about the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship belts. Like I said last night, said it the night they announced it. You know, tell the women, for all the people out there, especially those podcasters that claim they have balls the size of coconuts, don't tell me and don't tell you and don't tell all these anonymous social media, Twitter catfish out there that they don't deserve their own belts. Why don't you tell the women? Tell the women. You know, have the balls. You feel that way? You're that passionate? Go on their Twitter and say, listen, with all due respect, I think there's too many belts and I think these belts are stupid. What's the matter? Suddenly the balls seem to have turned into raisins. There are too many belts. Of course there are too many belts. But you mean to tell me that everybody else has something to gun for except for tag team women? Fuck out of here. That's like, I'm sorry for bringing in politics for a second, but that's like Republicans not wanting to sign this stimulus while Trump was president, or because we're going to leave our children $24 trillion in debt. Motherfucker, if you don't sign the bill, we're going to leave them $23 trillion in debt. Is that a big difference? If I'm with $100,000 in credit card debt, and then you say to me, well, you might, you know, if you don't do this, you'll be 90. Oh, wow, that feels so good. I'm still $90,000 in debt. Shut up. So, Steve Joseph, which promotion would I like to see Kurt Angle go to? I know people aren't going to like this. AEW, for real, AEW. Number one, light schedule. Number two, and I think this is probably the part that a lot of people overlook. You know, you need, as much as you think Matt Hardy's use on TV has been a little off, we're still waiting to see what happens with Christian. But you mean to tell me Jericho behind the scenes, Matt Hardy behind the scenes, Christian behind the scenes, aren't helping these young guys get to the next level? With all due respect, I love Jake the Snake Roberts. Does it feel like Jake the Snake Roberts is staying overtime and training and helping these guys? I think he goes home after. You know, you can't strictly just, you know, focus on a couple of legends that are there. And yeah, you know, you need tutors, you need mentors, you need people to pick their brain in this and that. So personally, I think Kurt Angle would tremendously help the younger stars in that company and try to maybe teach them a little bit more about the scientific. And you know, look, I'm not going to put in Kurt Angle's head what he would teach people, but if AEW was not an option, then I would say NWA. Because NWA focuses more on the wrestling aspect more than anything else. You don't have as many outrageous over-the-top storylines, and it's more about athletic prowess than anything else. I think Kurt Angle in NWA would be a nice fit as well. So those would be my two choices. Definitely would not have him go back to Impact Wrestling. Definitely would not have him go to MLW. Wouldn't have him go to Japan. Wouldn't have him go to Ring of Honor either. You know, too much work needs to be done in Ring of Honor right now, in my opinion. So, Roger Rubio, yeah, Roger knows that at the beginning of the second hour of tonight's show, I will do the contest. So, everyone out there, I will catch you off guard, because I know there's a few people out there that are hanging out with other shows and then think they could, you know, just walk right in here when we do the contest and then they're leaving. And no. We'll just hit them when they least expect it. And before they could even just type to get in over here, the contest will be over. So, but yeah, we'll do that soon. Be a lot of fun. Mikey Hodge. He doesn't get a chance to listen live often, so he's stopping by to show some love. Much love to you too, my friend. I hope you're enjoying the shows as much as I am doing them. And if there's anything that you feel should be improved, definitely speak up. Let me know. I'm always all ears. And trust me, a couple little tweaks we have done over the last couple of months is because of a lot of you out there speaking out. So I really do appreciate that. So big shout out, Mikey. Hope you're doing good. King of Games 405. How much of the Attitude Era will be affected by Peacock? Okay. All right. This is a difficult situation to talk about. And the reason why I say that is because WWE, when they work out these deals, like with NBC, Universal, USA Network, Peacock, and others, they know exactly what it entails. They know the standards and practices for Peacock. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when WCW Nitro was on the air, they had some really difficult standards and practices to deal with. And there was a lot of things that they wanted to do that they couldn't do because of the standards and practices in Turner. With NBC Universal, you know, this is my honest opinion on this, okay? I'll give you Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown. WrestleMania 5 is the perfect example of it. I've seen that match many times before. All right, we have talked about it for decades and decades and decades, you know, that it was unnecessary for Roddy Piper to have the split face, even though basically what he was trying to say is that he's the wrestler for everybody, black or white. That's what the message was. But still, it is considered offensive in 2021. So for people out there to just tweet fuck nonstop about a match that took place 35 years ago, if you're that offended that NBC Universal removed that match, go on Google, go on Video Motion or wherever the other sites that still have that match online and go binge watch it to the point where you know word for word every sentence, every word that the commentator said. 95% of you out there have not watched that match in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and suddenly everybody gives a shit about that match. And if you're going to say to me, well, you know, they're removing also when Vince McMahon said the N-word and this and that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what this makes me think about? When I was a kid, and I still have them for comedy purposes, but when I was a kid, when I watched a movie on regular television that I was too young to see in the movie theaters, that my parents wouldn't allow it, on the regular television, all the bad words would be censored. And, you know, it sucked. It was stupid. The way they edited it was pathetic. But if I wanted to watch it, that's what I had to deal with. WWE sold the rights to the WWE Network for almost $1 billion. If NBC Universal wants to treat the WWE Network like WWE treated WCW in 2001 and beyond, that is their prerogative. NBC Universal paid them money. If NBC Universal wants to censor every Steve Austin middle finger, too bad. Do I like it? No. But too bad. That's how business goes. I own something, I sell it to you, and if you want to tweak this, censor this, change this color, change this, edit this, tweak that, that is your right. If you don't like it, don't sign up for Peacock. Plain and simple. WWE is a business. And these people online, you know, I understand why some people would be concerned, like, oh my God, you know, the attitude era. To me, it's the same thing of WWE splicing over all of the music that aired on ECW shows. I mean, the music that they spliced over and edited over is awful. And the sound quality is awful. Well, guess what? I swear on God, God could come down right now and blow my brains out if I'm lying. If I'm lying, seriously. When WWE first started putting, and anybody that's been following my shows for years already know this, when WWE started putting ECW television on the network, and then I saw that every song was being dubbed over, and those hype videos that led up to November to Remember, when you would hear November Rain, sure, ECW used the music without permission. I get it. I totally get all that. But when WWE splices over November Rain and what you're watching is just piss poor pathetic, you know what I did? I went on iOffer.com when it was still around and I bought every ECW TV show that was recorded in its original airing. I bought every DVD. I will, next week on the show, I will take it out. 500 DVDs I bought. I didn't pay a lot for it. So if I want to watch ECW uncut, uncensored, with the original theme music, then guess what? I don't put on the WWE Network. I put on the DVD instead. This is called business. That's all it is. You may not like it, but that's how NBC Universal operates. We're in 2021. There's going to be things that are censored. Look at some of the news. Look at some of the things that they want to change. It's going to happen on TV as well, and that's what's happening. And if you don't like it, then don't watch Peacock. And then if you're going to say to me, oh, I'm not going to do it, well, then get a VPN. And this way your IP address is blocked and sign up for the WWE Network again and enjoy it like before. That's it. That's it. NBC Universal, it's going to be very interesting to see how far they go with this. You know, if they want, like I said before, if they want to blur out the middle finger every time Austin does that, they want to censor hot lesbian action. You know, I don't know how far they're going to go, but they paid $1 billion. Like Vince McMahon in 2001. Remember his vignettes? I could put WCW on the shelf. I own WCW. And guess what? After the failed attempt to recreate it as Shane McMahon as the owner, it was gone. It was gone. Vince McMahon bought it. Even though we didn't like what he did with it, he had every right to do whatever he wants with it. As long as Peacock pays that money to WWE, they can show whatever they want and they could omit whatever they want. And guess what? What if WWE gets sold one day? What if it gets sold one day? And what are you going to do? We can speak up and we could complain. But guess what? We really don't have much of a say. We're in 2021, everyone. We're not in 1995 anymore. Click your feet, click your glitter, pink shoes, all you want. You know, Toto ain't going to come around. You know, that's the way it is. Get used to it. I think people online are just bitching and complaining to try to come off as like, you know, to try to be anti-PC. But they're silent when other shit goes on. Just the way it is, everyone. Just the way it is. There's a lot of things that changed. Get used to it. I hate to sound negative about it, but that's it. Get used to it. I didn't tweet about it. I didn't tweet once about it. NBC Universal paid $1 billion. They can do whatever the fuck they want with it. And we have to sit there and take it. And if we don't want it, then you don't subscribe. Edwin G. He got the second shot of the vaccine. Since I had it, did it have more an effect the second time around than the first? No. I had the first shot of Moderna. And I did a show that night. Yeah, I did the Don Tony show that night. And I felt a little off. Had a little chills. That night I had a fever for maybe a couple of hours. The next day I had some chills, headache. Then it went away. The second shot, people were telling me that the second shot, you would have all these side effects. The second shot is worse. I had no problem with the second shot at all. Second shot was 10 times better than the first. So, but, you know, if you just got it yesterday or today, you know, just monitor. Be very careful. And the next 2 weeks are the most important. Once those 2 weeks go by, your immunity is about 100%. So you have almost no chance. If you get hit with COVID, the worst case scenario, it'll be like a cold. That's the worst thing that can happen. So, you know, a lot of people think as soon as they get the second shot, off with the mask, party. Those first 2 weeks after the second shot are very, very important. So, but I'm glad for you. I'm very happy for you. I am so happy that I got it done. And again, I know there's a lot of you out there that are still very nervous about this vaccine. I don't blame you. At the end of the day, what came down to me is, do I want to get COVID or do I want to get a couple of side effects? I decided to take the chance and I was fine. And believe me when I tell you, the peace of mind knowing that I could walk around and I still wear the mask and I still take all the precautions out of respect to my neighbors, you know, because they obviously, I'm not going to walk around with the vaccine card glued to my head. A lot of people I walk around, they don't know what, you know, if I had it or not. So I do everything like I did before, just out of respect for my neighbors. And there'll be a day very, very soon where we can remove the masks and, you know, it'll be worth it in the end. So, you know, just stick it out a little bit more. That goes for everybody out there. Even if you don't get vaccinated, as long as we get enough people vaccinated and the risk gets very, very low, then everybody should be good to go. So, Cassette Classics, peace, love, and soul. Here's the 20,000. I don't know, honestly, I don't know if we'll get 20,000 by WrestleMania. Remember, my goal was 20,000 by the end of 2021. I might have been 25,000, but I tell you, it's funny. Like, I don't plug anymore for people to subscribe. I just tell them, if you enjoy, in fact, I'll do that now. If you're enjoying the show, smash that like button, because that tells YouTube that you're enjoying the show, and they, in turn, will let others know. But I tell everyone to hit the like. I don't say to subscribe anymore. And the more I don't say it, I think the more people subscribe. So it's awesome, man. I'm having a ball. I hope everybody's enjoying the channel. And today, I did the first Q&A, the members only Q&A. I had some problems with the call-in software. The do not disturb would not lift for nothing. But, you know, I read a tutorial online how to go around that. So Saturday afternoon, between, I think, what did I say, 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., I'm going to do the second half of the Q&A. So if any of my friends out there that are members, if you're around between 1 and 2 p.m. Eastern Saturday, you'll call in and you could talk to yours truly. So I posted details on there. And if anybody wants to check out the membership, go right ahead. You know, look, I'm not doing it as a money grab, but I'm just saying, you know, if when you see people with the custom emojis and everything like that, that's because they signed up as a member. And whichever tier you're on, you get access to the members-only Q&As. So I don't really think that they have to break the bank just to do that. Joe DiPaolo, what's going on? Chris Salima and Chad Carpenter. Chad, hope everything is going well with you. Brandon Jones, what do I expect for WrestleMania? A lot of emotion. You're not going to see it in a lot of fans' eyes because of the masks, but it's going to be really, really emotional for a lot of people out there. Expect a boatload of people to go on social media for WrestleMania week that are going to Florida, and they're going to speak out about how, for a brief moment, it started to feel like we're getting back to normal. And you know what's going to happen, too, unfortunately. A lot of them will be greeted by people that live in opposite areas of the world and the country, and they will start accusing them of being super spreaders. I feel bad for those people that are just innocently going to go on social media and say, oh my God, I'm here in Florida. And, you know, just even though I still got to wear the mask and take precautions, to see all these people and they see the wrestling in person, my God, this is something I needed. You know, just a big emotional lift. You know, just psychologically, all of us have been damaged for the last 15 plus months. And it's not just COVID. It's all the racial tensions. It's what happened with the Trump election. There's so many things that have been just fucking with us. And all of us as wrestling fans, if we can't go to Florida and your friends or your fellow wrestling fans are, and they're taking the precautions, don't immediately assume that they're on the beach going, I showed my tits. Just because someone is going to WrestleMania doesn't mean, what the hell happened to my glasses? My glasses are like all blurry all of a sudden. Oh, I know what happened. The freaking lens popped out. Oh, shit. See, that's what happens when I do spur of the moment dumb shit. The freaking lens popped out. If I don't have glasses, we have a problem. I mean, I have other glasses that I could grab. Let's see. The lens is still freaking loose. Wow, this sucks, man. Maybe. All right, it'll do. You know, but just because they're going to Florida, people can immediately interpret that they're going to be on South Beach and they're going to be partying and they're going to be doing this and doing that and drinking and getting drunk and getting laid on the street. You know, not everybody's going to do that, but you're going to see they're going to be accused of being super spreaders. And I cringe to see the awful shit that's going to be written online. I really do. I really feel bad for a lot of those people, what they're going to go through. But there's going to be so much energy. It's going to be so much fun. And even though the masks, it's still going to look a little surreal to see that many people with masks. But you know what? 3 months from now, it should be substantially different. See? Yes. Do I get a thumbs up at least for showing my tits tonight? Do I get a little thumbs up for that? I don't want to touch the screen because I got the chat room going in the background. So, but no, I expect a lot of energy. I expect a lot of, just feeling of a little bit more normalcy. I think the wrestlers are going to be emotional. I'm not going to pick anybody individually, but I think some wrestlers are going to get teary-eyed. I think you're going to see interviews with wrestlers after Mania where they cry. I'm telling you, you're going to see some wrestlers get so emotional to have fans back in attendance. I mean, that's what wrestling's all about. Even the shit that we did, a couple hundred people, little kids going home happy, just having fun. That's what it's about. You can't take that away from people. Ted Turner, we hear about WWF and NWA. How come no love for AWA? AWA, it's been out of business since pretty much, the early 90s? I used to enjoy AWA, you know, but then Vern Gagne, obviously, with Vince McMahon starting to take over. You know, Vern Gagne, I mean, if you want to see in good, full force, my love for AWA, check out the history shows that I did, This Week in Wrestling History. They are still online. And I talked about AWA in great detail on those shows. You know, and then when I started becoming a Hulkamaniac after Rocky III, and then seeing the screw jobs that Vern Gagne was doing and the teasing of Hogan winning the belt off of Bockwinkel and teasing it and teasing it and teasing it because he knew that he kept selling out the arenas. You know, Vern Gagne is a legend. But towards the end of AWA, he didn't have a clue. And on my YouTube channel, on my channel, there is still online footage that I uploaded about 10 years ago from my own VHS collection from 1985. My local TV station used to always do specials on wrestling. And there's one where a guy confronts Vern Gagne, where at the Meadowlands, it was Larry Zbysko versus Bob Backlund. And they were talking in the ring. And local Channel 9 News had a hot mic right around ringside and recorded them talking to each other. And Zbysko's telling Backlund to hold the ropes when I thought he said. And on live, on Channel 9 News, WWOR TV here in New York, you could see it after this show over here, it's online, you see him confront Vern Gagne. And just imagine this. Seriously, we know what wrestling is. We all know now. Imagine how Vern Gagne felt in 1985 when he's sitting being interviewed by WWOR-TV in New York, and he's sitting in a room, and there's a big screen, and it's Larry Zbysko and Bob Backlund. I think Zbysko might have even been the champion at the time, and Bob Backlund talking to each other in the ring, clear as day, telling what moves they want to do. And he's like, well, what do you have to say about that? And I felt, truly felt so terrible for Vern Gagne. I'll never forget. He's like, man, oh, man. He's like, I would have to ask them what this is about. What was he supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? I mean, and the worst part about it is, you know, these stations loved exposing this, like ruining it for everybody. So I have a lot of fond memories of AWA, but, you know, it's just, you know, after Hogan left and others left, you know, I loved the Road Warriors when they were there in 84. But as those couple of years would go up, shit, I loved even when Rick Martel was the champion, Stan Hansen being the champion. I didn't have any problem with Zbysko being the champion, but it would by the late 80s, it pretty much, I mean, you had a young Shawn Michaels, Sherry Martel. I mean, they still had some gems, but ultimately, Vince McMahon would just snatch them. So, Roger Rubio, his mom just received her second shot. Any tips on what he should look out for? And Gavin Newsom announced April 15th for everyone over 16 in California. Well, good about that. Here in my neck of the woods, it's pretty much anybody 50 and over with an underlying condition. But, you know, like I said, even 2-3 months ago, you made an appointment, you showed up, even if you were in your 30s. They didn't even ask, like, how are you getting this shot? These questionnaires online are for surveys. That's just the fact. If anybody out there, look, I don't condone this, but if any of you out there go on your local state site and you don't qualify yet and you put down that you got this or you got this, you know, they don't ask for proof. You show up at the vaccination site, they don't ask you for proof of job or proof of this, proof of that. I talked about mine. When I went in January for my first shot, I was not of age yet, obviously. But I qualified because one of my jobs from last year to the present was working at the grocery store. Remember March of last year? Do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? I worked 3 jobs. I did insurance. I did taxes. I did groceries. If you want to call this a job also, I did 4 jobs every week. And because I worked in the grocery, that qualified me. So I got a pay stub from my dad. And I got a letter signed saying what I do. And I set up appointments for my mom, my dad, and myself all at the same time. And when I walked into the place, I said to the woman, I said, you need my employment info? And she's like, no, I don't need that. And she wrote down my date of birth. And she said to me, who are these two? And I said, oh, those are my parents. I said, we got it together. I said, you know, and then I said to the woman, I'm like, you know, I'm worried about me more than anything because I don't want to give them COVID, God forbid. So she says, you know, I'm just going to put you down as a caretaker. You're a caretaker for your parents. And that was it. That was it. But as far as looking out for your mom, you know, I would emotionally support her more than anything. If she gets fever, she gets chills, gets a little headache, get a little upset stomach, just remind her that that's her body telling her that it's doing what it's supposed to. I say this all the time. You know, when you get the vaccine, if you get any side effects, that's your body basically saying, you know, like, who the fuck are you? What are you doing in here? And it tries to fight it. So whenever you get a germ, you know, when you get a little fever, that's your body fighting some type of foreign substance in you, some type of disorder. So when you get the vaccine in you, there's a coating on the outside. So this way, when it goes into you, it doesn't look, you see me, now I can't really show you the pictures. I didn't take the pictures of my legs, but you could see now the update, like it's starting to really like, you can see it a little bit. I'm sorry for the lighting, but I burned my hand really bad yesterday. I burned my leg. I had to go to hospital. And it's now starting to scab up and everything. The minute the burn hit my skin, it's immediately trying to fight it. So with the vaccine, there's a coating. And the reason why that's there is because if they inject something in your body and your body has no idea what the hell that is, your body's going to try to kick it out of your body as quickly as possible. And what it needs to do is it needs to get deep into your system. So it takes several hours for that outside coating to wear off. Once it gets in there, it's now teaching your body what it needs to do if you get the virus. It doesn't inject the cure in you. It injects technically instructions to tell your body what it needs to do. So when your body gets this, it never got that before, so it tries to fight and this, this, and that, and then it realizes, okay, no, it actually is somebody trying to help. So it, shit, my apologies. See, I should have never did that before. Okay, I think I got it nice and tight now. Nice and tight. By the way, did you like my horrendous joke when I talked to that guy in that opening clip? What are you and acne? What's the difference between you and acne? Acne goes on a kid's face. Or no, I said acne comes on a kid's face after they're 12. That's 13 years ago for you. Never get caught alive saying that today. But yeah, if she has any side effects, it's her body doing what it's supposed to. So side effects are not funny. You know, it's not a joke, but it's your body telling you it's doing the right thing. Tyree Jones. Do I think AEW would benefit from signing Big Cass with Melina by his side? And have you seen recently the indies with Melina? Well, I've seen Melina in NWA. I like Melina in NWA. You know, I think she's very disappointed that she was unable to land a spot in WWE, and that could very well still happen. The problem is that WWE is so busy right now trying to elevate some of their roster. And the problem is, this is what happens when there's no off season. You have Royal Rumble, you have WrestleMania, soon you have SummerSlam, then you got Survivor Series, this and that, and there's never really any off time. So you see many times they start pushing someone simply to fill a spot on a pay-per-view. And that's why even when they had that women's Money in the Bank match, remember in Connecticut last year when they all went to the WWE office? At that time, some people thought, wow, you know, they're really giving Dana Brooke a push. You know, they're getting behind her. We saw right through that, you know. And you see it, unfortunately, with some of these tag teams. And now we're seeing it with Nakamura, which sucks. But I like Melina, and I think she could still do it. The thing is, though, is, my God, if WWE can't even do right with Mickie James, could you imagine what they're going to do with Melina? They might have Melina on TV for a month or two, and then she ends up in the same position as Mickie James. You know, WWE shows me no faith that once you go over a certain age, that even though you prove that you could still do it, unless there's some really rare commodity about yourself, they don't do it. They don't do it. And then you get these goofs online. Oh, exclusive. WWE's not looking to hire anybody over 35. Well, you could fucking figure that out easy by who they're using and who they're not, you know? Mr. Donzilla, Sage Zofar, what's up? Who would I say are the top five wrestlers of all time? Dude, I'm not trying to duck your comment. But this is how I always answer that question. Wrestlers in the 70s is a different form of wrestling entertainment as it was in the 80s, as it was in the 2000s, and even today. And the problem is, I could put people on a Mount Rushmore, and the thing is that most of us never even seen that person wrestle. So I prefer to always break it up into, you know, into different eras. I personally think, you know, up until the 80s would be one era. The 90s and the 2000s would be another era, and then you would go now. But, you know, if I go strictly on being a wrestling fan and who I saw when I was alive, I probably would go with Hogan. I probably would go with Savage. I would have to go with somebody from today. I would be really reluctant to put John Cena in that category. I probably would put Ric Flair in there. So that's three out of four already, you know? So you could put, you know, you could pretty much put any, put Bret Hart in there. You know, now you see, we left out everybody from the last 20 years. Shawn Michaels you could put on there. You could put, for some people, CM Punk if you want. I think that's, you know, a little too, you know, not a long enough career. I mean, there's so many technical wrestlers. If you want to go a little further back, you could put Bruno on there, Undertaker on there, Sting if you want. So that's why I don't like doing Mount Rushmores. Like, if you tell me to do one for ECW, I do one for ECW. You tell me to do one for WCW, I do one for WCW. If you tell me to do one WWF, that would be before 2000. You know what I mean? That's the way to do it. It's very, very difficult to break it down, because then you could go into the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. And there would be arguments as to why some of those wrestlers should be on there. So, look, there is no wrong answer with Mount Rushmores. It's how you interpret it. And it's what you enjoy. I would... Terry Funk's my favorite wrestler of all time. It's been my favorite wrestler of all time since the 90s. Actually, the late 80s. You know, Terry Funk I absolutely loved. I don't know if I would put him in my Mount Rushmore, but that's another awesome legend. Some people would put Warrior. You know, there's really no wrong answer. And he hasn't watched wrestling since 2015 and 2016. And myself and Soup have renewed his passion for something that he fell in love with as a kid. Look, wrestling today is not what it was even 10 years ago. But again, there are a million hobbies out there. You have all different types of sports. You have all different forms of entertainment. When I see overgrown people criticize 95% of what they see on TV with wrestling, and the other 5% they praise because they want to live vicariously through those people. Oh my God, Roman Reigns, badass, badass, badass. Karrion Kross, badass, badass. Oh, Kenny Omega, badass, badass. But 95% you rip, wrestling is not for you anymore. And the only reason why they still watch wrestling is because they realize that if tennis becomes their favorite pastime instead of wrestling, they might get three people. They might get at John McEnroe fan to like their tweet. So these people will just complain and complain and complain. I never in my lifetime, and I always use the music analogy, replace wrestling with music. I don't like country music. That is a fact. You will never see me listen to country music. You'll never see me criticize it because I know some people like country music. I don't listen to it. I don't watch them perform. I don't talk about it. I love old school, hip-hop, hip house, house, techno, disco, dance, freestyle. I love all that. So you'll see me talk about that. but I don't talk about music that I don't like. So now replace music with wrestling. If you don't fucking like AWA, why can't you get it out of your mouth? Because they realize that if they only talked Roman Reigns 24/7, 365, or someone else who decides to turn heel and suddenly they're badass too, it gets old very fast. So complain, 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 complain. These people are not wrestling fans. They are lonely people. They are lonely people who need your attention. They need you to like their post. That they just need that acknowledgement. Let me rip. Let me criticize Lana. Let me criticize Peyton Royce. Let me criticize Kenny Omega. Let me rip apart this person. Blah, 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 blah. And you get 20, 30 miserable bitches to like it also. And now I feel wanted still. That's what sucks about wrestling today more than anything else. It's not that the product has gone down. There are more talented, upper-tier women wrestlers today compared to my lifetime. We have a boatload of very talented wrestlers in all different promotions. Pro wrestling is not the problem. It's these bitter bitches that realize that if they don't talk about wrestling anymore, they have nothing. They have no podcasts. They have no blogs. They have no friends. They have no friends. That's what it comes down to. There's nothing wrong with wrestling. It has a lot of problems, and it is a sign of today. It's a sign of today. Whatever outside life is, and the culture, and the social issues, it's going to reflect on wrestling. That's just the way it is. It's not going to change. You know, that's why I said for 15 years on all my shows, John Cena will never turn heel. Attitude Era will never come back. I'll never forget that segment where Alexa Bliss was in. Remember that? She's in the locker room, and a camera guy opens the door, and she's holding her tits like this, and she's topless. And there were people online that actually said, you see, Attitude Era is coming back. They're little by little, they're starting to. Fuck is wrong with these people? You know, it's just a sign of the times. So trust me, and believe me, I tell you this, Age, and I think this is why Soup is even, you know, got it still with this. They don't allow the outside negative noise to creep in. They enjoy what they enjoy, just like I enjoy what I enjoy, and I block out that other noise as much as possible. The more you block out the noise, the more fun you have. And that's just the truth. That's such, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. The more you block out that negative, you might end up with less people talking to you. And that kind of sucks. But you block out that noise. I'd rather have 100 people talking to me, and we're all having fun and just trying to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad, than to have 500 people and half of them are bitching about everything that's going on in life. Not interested in that. Tyree Jones, he does like Orange Cassidy. Do I think his gimmick is sustainable long term? It will tweak over time. Absolutely. You know, some of the things that he does, the minute he puts his hand in his pockets, if I was another wrestler facing him, I'd knock him right on his ass. The minute he goes like this, I lay him out. So you will see things tweaked. Orange Cassidy will be silent many times. I think that will stay for a very long time. He will be extra animated in his matches. Everybody knows that he can go. That's not a hidden secret anymore. So Orange Cassidy, you really don't have to tweak all that much. And Orange Cassidy is meant to be in front of a live audience. So even though they have really underutilized Orange Cassidy the last year, that's a good thing. Because when we start getting live fans in attendance again, Orange Cassidy will be one of the biggest attractions that AEW has to offer. Not everybody likes his gimmick. But for those that do like it, you know, it's fun. It's fun. That's the thing with Orange Cassidy. Even though he doesn't smile, but his character is fun. And that's the most important thing about it. Devin M., how will the post-Mania show work out? Will Soup Guys be on? I don't know. I haven't talked to Mish yet. Something tells me that we probably will do a joint show. Like, he'll simulcast where he usually simulcasts, which I think is Spreaker and Discord. I'll obviously be over here. I know him and Joey Numbers are working on going video. Because, obviously, that's, you know, where everybody is doing now. So, if they're both available for video, then I'll probably have an overlay made up with three video screens, which would be fun. If not, I don't know. I will talk to him and I will find out. I will definitely talk to Mish this weekend. And obviously, we're going to need to know soon. So, by the way, don't forget, everyone, next Friday, I will be away. I will be going away from early Friday morning next week to Monday afternoon. As of right now, Monday night's show, not this coming Monday, but the Monday after, it should still be on. I should be back in New York way early. If, you know, I decide to come back really late and there's any change with the show, I'll obviously post something on social media. So Joey Numbers is not related to Joey 924. They do not know each other. They had a little bit of a rift back in the day. I still have the audio when they invaded their minority roundtable or whatever, and that's hilarious, man, to look back on that. So, Harris, I don't know. Honestly, I'm just telling you like it is. You know me. I don't hold back. I'm not afraid. Jason Solomonster has a established, long-running YouTube channel. You know, I like when people try to compare me to other channels out there when they know that still to this day, 75 to 80%, for those of you that don't notice, 75 to 80% of everybody that tunes into my shows still only tune in audio only. And that's fine. I mean, I understand why a lot of people do it, working and other things, and they don't want to sit and look at video for 2 hours at a time. But that's just a fact. If I eliminate audio only, of course, people are forced to go on YouTube and then just listen to it instead of looking at the video screen. Yeah, my numbers would dramatically go up. But, you know, my shows are video shows that I offer an audio alternative. I personally just think in a business standpoint, there ain't no way that Jason Solomonster is going to pass up his own audience, super chats, advertising to do a joint show. I just don't see it, to be honest with you. I would love to do something with him for WrestleMania. I just think in a business standpoint, he's a very smart cookie, and he's got a very loyal audience, and I just don't see him, you know, tweaking that just for WrestleMania. Just my honest take on that. Look, I could be wrong, but I don't blame him. It would be very smart for him to do what he's doing now. So, absolutely, man. Joshua Alcock, what's going on? Tuning in from England. Glad you're enjoying the show. Wonzamo Torres, a little feedback from before. I agree. Vern Gagne was stuck in the old ways of wrestling. He still was in the mindset that, you know, the business was not exposed, but it was. You know, and he refused to let that go. And look, you see some older wrestlers, you know, still have that old school mentality, and it clashes sometimes with today's wrestling. Without naming any individual wrestlers, I think you could think of many examples of some old time legends making little remarks about today's wrestling and then they get eaten alive. Where some people just close down their social media and be like, I ain't fucking going to deal with this. I busted my ass wrestling for 30 years, and I'm not going to deal with a little, you know, cancel culture bitch. And I'm asexual with the bitch. There are male and female bitches. I don't want anybody to think it's just a woman thing. Yes, the contest will be coming up soon. I truly believe today's contest will be the easiest one ever. If you followed my history shows, you should get this in a second. And I gave a hint earlier, and I'll give it one more time. The person is a celebrity who made a one-time appearance on WCW Nitro and is a friend of Hogan. That should give you a pretty good idea right off the bat. So we'll do it later. There is audio attached. Oh, by the way, since there is audio attached, it would be smart if I get the audio ready. And I am allowed to play this audio clip. I looked into it, and it was perfectly fine. So, yeah. Yeah, I got the audio all queued up, ready to go. We'll do that in a little bit. I'm not going to get into, trust me, if you think you know the answer, you're going to get it wrong. Trust me, I tell you. If you're going to thinking you're going in this direction, trust me, it's going to go in this direction. Now, with the old school Don Tony indie wrestle crap stuff, I have three clips for you today that I'm going to share with you. We'll play one now. We'll play one again, maybe right after the contest, and then we'll play the last one right before we go off the air. The last one is only 3 minutes long. So one thing I did want to throw out there, and, you know, if you tuned in Monday, you already saw it. If you tuned in to my YouTube, my Twitter, you already saw it as well. But I wanted to show this to you because it's really, really sad. Let me find it. I might, you know what? I think I accidentally closed it, but I have it right here. Let me see. There we go. Okay. Last week, I showed you all that wrestling footage, getting handcuffed, you know, getting whipped with a belt, getting the shit knocked out of me. And one of the guys that was beating the crap out of me was Joe So Delicious, the guy with the big outfit, tan outfit with the big white glasses. And if you remember last week, I talked about how nice he was and, you know, a great student in Johnny Rod's school. And you've heard me over the years talk about one of my fondest memories doing this stuff is hanging out with Johnny Rods. And when Johnny Rods first saw my black Lincoln Mark 7, and we did that skit with Vinny DeGuido putting him in the trunk, Johnny Rods came up to me. He says, "That's your car, brother?" I said, "Yeah." And we talked about Cadillacs and Lincolns for almost an hour. Johnny Rods, WWE Hall of Famer, awesome trainer. You don't know what a privilege it was to hang out with this man. And he's all, you know, pimped out in his suits. And we're talking Caddies and Lincolns. And, you know, we're talking about Ridger Grove Arena when I was a kid and seeing him with my grandmother. It was awesome. After I did the show last Thursday, a few people that I used to do the wrestling with reached out to me. And we were talking about a few people. And unfortunately, some of the people we saw on the video are retired now. But I had no idea about this. And this is why I said even Monday, it's so important that I always shout out everybody who passes, not just the ones that are cosmetically sexy for these websites. Last year, we paid tribute for about 15 wrestlers that 95% of the websites ignored. You remember that? Well, I found out that Joe So Delicious died 4.5 years ago at the age of 31. I'm not going to get into any details, but I was like, oh man, that fucking sucks. Seriously, that's just like it was sad enough last week to reminisce about all this good shit that we were doing at that time, just to hear that he died 4.5 years ago. So I went searching, and as a little final tribute to Joe So Delicious, I want to show you a 2-minute clip. You will get a kick out of it. And in the process, you'll see a cameo by yours truly. I video bombed this segment. You know, you heard of photo bombs, but I think you'll appreciate this. I really do. You can check this out. This is my little tribute to Joe So Delicious. No, Johnny Robs is not dead. Ted Turner, Joe So Delicious passed at 31. Johnny Rods is not deceased. Trust me, if Johnny Rods was deceased, I think I would know about it. But Check this out. Listen closely to the hat comment.
Tony, hey, what, is that Grim Reaper? Right now, is that him? Tell him I said hello. Tell him I said I like his hat. Tell him I said that.
He said he likes your hat.
It's a great hat, I love it.
He said the pink hat?
Oh, no, no. Anyways.
I used to rag on that guy all the time. He said he loved Reaver's hat. I said, the pink hat? The pink hat is supposed to be the tip of a penis. I would do jokes with that guy all the time about sex and penis. By the way, for people that don't know, that's not his hair and that's not his voice. Two tidbits. Number one, it was a spoof of the guy, I guess, from the Flintstones. That's what he was doing. And here's another thing that'll blow you away. I said it once before. As far as I know, he still lives one block away from my house. No joke. I haven't talked to him in years. One of the nicest people that I ever came across. Just a really, really nice guy. Jerry Fitzwater. I don't know if it was supposed to be Barney Rubble, but it was supposed to be something with the Flintstones. So, but yeah, Soulfly, I will talk about it later on, but I'll show you another clip now. Now, remember last week I told you all that I had the footage of the dog and Sabotage accidentally dropping the dog, and then we ended up, for the kids, we did the Bronco Buster, and the bulldog's balls were in Sabotage's face. You're starting to realize, and I know I sound like a broken record, but for all of you out there who have heard me on audio only for the last 10, 15 years tell you all these stories about my stuff in indie wrestling, now you're seeing all the video to back it up. Every story that I've ever told you, I'm now backing it up with video. And that's just wonderful, seriously. It's not even to try to show up the haters. It's just, you know, I've told these stories for so many years, and now to be doing video and to finally share it. And I tell you, another thing that just sucks also is the fact that I look back on that and I let the voices get in my head. I let those people online, and I talked about it earlier today, I let those people online that convinced me that what I was doing was awful, disgusting, terrible, it sucked. I had no business being there. And it got to the point where I said, I'm probably right, and I stopped doing it. And then I think a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago, when people were making me feel guilty because I wanted to go to video. And now you see what we got here. And now I look back on and realize that people just didn't want to see me go to another level. And now you see, you know, there's podcasters out there that unfortunately, they might have a great podcast, but they don't have this, and they don't have this history doing all this stuff and all these stories. And the more I put this out there, the bitter they get. And that just sucks. So anyway, let me show you some more footage. Now, I will be honest with you. That opening promo for tonight's show, obviously it'll repeat a little bit here because it'll set up what you're about to see tonight. And I think you'll get a kick out of this. This is what led up to the dog incident. And yes, for the person that asked earlier, that is Warhorse. That is Warhorse. And could you imagine if we would have had that match the following show? Johnny Rods would have managed yours truly for a match. You know what awesome memory that would have been? Johnny Rods is my manager. My God, it was freaking... No. Havili, I don't let them get to me anymore. I feed off of them now. I feed off of them. Once we get out of COVID and I have the opportunity to do some indie managing again, I plan on doing it 100 times better than before. So, and I might still be politically incorrect. So, anyway, as we do usually with every week, hold on, where is it? Okay, yeah. Let's put this here. And let's put this here.
Two thugs, Scotty Rio, professional. Hey, there's no problem here. Got a man nightmare there. I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. Handicap match. They're the ones with the handicap.
It doesn't matter if it's 3-on-4. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. When you get into the ring with us, it doesn't matter if you're a technical wrestler, a high flyer, or a brawler. You're just going to be another bunch of losers.
Let me tell you something, guys. When you need a favor, and always need a favor, just call on...
No, that's not the same Warhorse.
Oh, Tony.
I don't think that's the same Warhorse. If you're thinking the person who fought Cody, that's not him.
Oh, come on, though.
Get fired.
What's the difference between you and Acme?
I don't know.
Acme usually comes on a kid's face after the 12th.
That was terrible and distasteful.
Hey, somebody asked for a favor because we give favors out.
Right here.
You know, sorry.
Right here, ask for a favor.
Somebody thought your name was Vinny, you know that?
There's this karma in the dog.
As a matter of fact, why don't you just
he's licking my face.
Let's not get it. All right.
Hey, you're asking for a favor?
Yeah, I'm asking for a favor right here.
We know each other for a while.
That's true. Listen, we need one guy. Richard Tyler couldn't make it. It's 4-on-3. We have an 8-man elimination match tonight. And we need one more guy. Asking for a favor from Don Tone.
Well, you got the guy for you right here, straight from Brooklyn. Since he's coming out, watch my back. Because we got a bunch of juice heads running around to get in the course with the title. We don't lend you here. We want a match.
That's not nothing to do anyway.
I'll tell you something. You're embarrassing. You especially you
yeah,
to make up.
Yeah, you're
always a favorite. You're
the problem.
Right?
As long as you give us the respect we deserve, respect the Don, we won't have no problem.
Respect the Don.
Come on,
any words.
Next time, please do something about your hair when you're in the presence of us Guinness.
Hey, that takes me about an hour and a half to talk about. All right, there you have it.
Kiffa.
You'll be all right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Nice
all right,
to go back to a 4-on-4, baby.
Come on, Carmine.
There you have it, folks. Jerry Fitzwater here. Let's get back to ringside.
Yeah, it's a pug. What did I say? Bulldog
he
pug.
He's naked.
Oh my God!
Drop kick
and a hard kick to the face right there.
Yeah. Oh, he said, "Yeah."
Now Jerry was a much bigger,
better partner. Oh no! A little low blow. Oh, this is his finishing move.
There we go.
The crucifix bomb. It's over.
What the?
It's It's a wrap.
One, two, three.
One, two, three. It's over.
Here's your winner, Ultra Sexy Joe Submissions.
King of Pueco. Now I'm starting to.
Paul's meant to lift this. Oh, he gave him the right there.
He's got a swallow on his head like my guy. He's got a swallow.
Hold on. I'm trying to talk to you. Okay, just keep your voices down to maybe a level one. Maybe a level one voice. Your level one voices. Inside voices, people. Inside voices.
I remember it was it's always family entertainment. It was kid friendly shows.
First of all, don't worry about my two teammates because they're about to come out right now. I'm talking about Best Buddies Inc., Sabotage, and the BPW Heavyweight Champion, Jason Static.
I didn't do anything with the audio. I don't think we have any issues. You see all the little kids there. That's why we had to do something with the dog later on.
Jay Static and the masculine marvel, quote unquote, Sabotage.
All right.
Jason Static, I want to both congratulate you on the winning at the gold medal. Hold on a second. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a laughing matter. Inside voices, please. I have to say, upon your return,
2008.
I know you want to shot at me, Reefer, but tonight you gotta go against these two guys first. And number one right here, Sabotage, is going against you tonight. You got work for tonight.
Oh, got, Reefer and Sabotage.
You got,
oh, man. Make them more proud, baby.
All right. I'm thinking.
Oh, wow.
Important things.
What?
We're in Brooklyn. Well, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Come out now.
So flex, tonight's your one and only opportunity at the title. You only got one shot at it.
You get one shot.
That last time I beat you, I know you went to that dump. I mean, it's called Gleason's Gym. I know you went to speak to that dinosaur. Oh, Johnny Rods. And he asked him for some advice. I left Gleason's Gym.
Tonight's the night! I'm flying back to Louisville with this title, and you're hopping on that D train to cry to Johnny on Front Street!
Oh! There's Mac Daddy Flex, he's coming out! Oh, with Reaper!
This all sets up what everything happens tonight.
You know, I'm gonna make this short and very sweet. Not only will my man Big Reefer beat down this midget sabotage. Static. Tonight, I'm gonna take what rightfully belongs to Mac Daddy Flex.
Good. Everybody's mic work was pretty on point.
Hey, let me tell you something. You might have left Gleason's. You might have got a little better. You might have got a little noticed. But I think you got a little gas to go along with that, my friend. Now, let me explain something to you. It looks like
Benoit
me and
sign.
Mac Daddy Flex are a little outnumbered. So I went to Brooklyn and I brought some backup. Big Carmine. Come out here, Big Carmine.
Check it out. I told you that I would bring the dog out, and I put the dog out in the curtain. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's his backup right there. That's a vicious dog.
That was true. Jay Lover had just gotten out of jail. No joke.
No longer in their favor. Look at Joseph. Look, he's scared away the crowd. Look at him. Where's he going? Oh, my God. Oh, he's just flying away. Turning away.
I give props to Reefer for trusting me with the dog, too. This dog was cool.
Jay Lover. Oh, my God. Did you see Jay Lover and Big Carmine?
I did. Big Carmine is a dog.
Yeah. No, but it's a pug.
Carmine is a dog.
A vicious pug at that. Who needs the BBW championship when you got Big Carmine?
I'm literally allergic to dog hair.
Oh, no.
This is terrible for me.
Oh, my goodness. Earl, we need to get you a doctor's appointment. Oh, my, I can't wait tonight.
Who is this man?
Mark, I don't know if I really want to bring it up here. I'll just say organized crime.
I can't wait.
You could Google it, though. Please insert this, too. Tell us that.
Jack of Hearts, combining forces.
All right. This is only about 2-3 minutes long. I wanted to get to the to the important parts.
Don Tony.
Yeah, I managed them all.
There's Jay Lover. Oh, the nightmare.
Yeah, it wasn't Warhorse. It was Nightmare. I said Warhorse earlier. It's Nightmare. That was his name.
The captain, the major.
Oh, there we go.
Major and Destiny. Wow, I love this. Oh my God, look at a BPW exclusive.
So I brought the dog out again.
Type matchup.
It was weird because I never turned. We never turned babyface. Just people just enjoyed our stuff, and everybody was like family.
Oh, here's Jay Lover. Jay Lover, from Brooklyn.
Oh! I see the audio is off just slightly. Sorry.
Nah, Tony looks to be happy.
Holy shit, champ, for a chop.
Jay Lover with a
why the audio level, the it went off a little bit. Maybe because of that disc two thing. I don't know.
Don Tony.
But watch what happens. His chest got B-red.
Oh, there we are. Now, we have Jay Leverhans, Scotty Real, the Patrick Swayze.
Where was it?
Or Crazy the new, Swayze.
The new age Swayze? Oh.
See me managing in the middle?
He doesn't have the tights that Patrick Swayze wore Dirty Dancing. Maybe he can do pull some cool dancing. Pretty hot in that movie.
She was also in other gems such as Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay, here it comes.
Man, you're just the knowledge of pop culture. Oh my gosh! What a power bomb! Perfectly executed by Jay Lover.
And how is the Patrick Swayze impressively?
Oh, what's this? Wait, sabotage!
He stole the dog.
Kidnapping Big Carmine. Jay Lover's going out.
Look, I'm running out.
He's going to the back. Oh my God, they're going after the dog. He's getting counted out. Oh no.
I'm really glad that the time honored tradition of bringing animals to the ring has been brought back.
Like the British Bulldogs.
Such greats as Davey Boy Smith and Jake Roberts. And now
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware.
Oh no.
So Sabotage stole the dog. It was funny seeing me run out of there. So, yeah. So we have two more parts. The second part is 10 minutes long, and then the final one is only 4 minutes long. So if you want me to keep going, I'll show you the next part now, and then we could do the contest. Then we could wrap it up if that's what you want. I mean, you're live. This is yours. So if you want me to keep it going, I'll show you the next 10 minutes because it gets pretty good. Yeah, I ran out. I was big on painkillers. Yes, Joey Numbers, I think he's still referees. No, we'll do the contest after it. You know what? Let's do this second part, then we'll do the contest. Then after we do the contest, we'll do the last 5 minutes, and then we'll start wrapping it up because we're already going about 90 minutes. So, yeah. All right. So here's the second part. Enjoy. So you know we leave off that Sabotage grabbed the dog and ran out. All right. Here we pick up from there. And I think the audio should be on point with this. This story.
160, you know who that is? He's Diesel. The modern Marvel.
He hails from Girls Gym.
Maybe that's for 4 bucks. Oh, with Big Carmine.
Watch what happens.
He just kidnapped Big Carmine.
I will tell you that Sabotage legitimately felt so terrible after the show. You have no idea. That's something I always remember. He felt so terrible. Watch.
Oh, you see the team. You see to have a team.
And Big Carmine looks petrified.
Poor Big Carmine.
What is going to be a Big Carmine?
Whatever happened to Matilda?
I don't know, but Sabotage defeated that. I don't see him as a responsible individual.
You remember what Earthquake did to Damien?
Watch.
You're messing with his family right there, Earl. Dream Reaper had that.
All right, look close.
Carmine, since he was a little Carmine. Since he was a puppy Carmine. Oh, wait. Uh-oh. Jay Lover.
Look, watch.
Oh, he
landed on his head.
Take too lightly to that.
Reefer was really concerned.
How's Big Carmine?
And we're underway. One third of Best Bodies Inc. The modern marvel.
There was a couple of kids after this match was over that a couple of them were crying. They thought something happened to the dog because Jay Lover was standing there and the dog, you know, I couldn't really see because I was managing, but later on they said that the dog seemed a little bit off and the kids were just focused on the dog and we had to bring him back out. So, see, now they're chanting Michael Vick.
Of being a Michael Vick of sorts.
I wasn't a general manager. I just managed a bunch of guys.
Over the top, onto the floor.
Oh, there we go.
Taco Bell.
Oh, the fans chanting Taco Bell.
Oh, my God.
The fans are hungry. Oh, what a powerbomb. One, two, oh.
He almost had him there. The masculine marvel. That is Sabotage.
Slick move. Oh, he's
what is this? What does he have in his hand? He has that.
He has that elastic band. Yeah.
Aerobic band.
No, he's just. He's just doing some, you know, bicep curls. That's all he's doing. He was just getting a workout. Oh, here's Jay Lover.
Jay Lover is at ringside.
I guess he got Carmine to save ground. Get to the gut.
That's one thing I keep getting on feedback, a lot of emails. People are like that I just look huge as far as height and size. I always said, you know, I was taller. I didn't realize I was almost 6'4". I never really measured height until somebody pointed it out to me about 2 years ago.
If not for the action, for the free food, at least.
And Eduardo.
Now, you can't see that corner because I cropped the screen a little bit so the chat room could stay up.
Oh, did you see that? Wow. Sabotage. Wow, look at the head scissors from the top.
Unbelievable. And that's Sabotage. A running elbow to the corner.
Oh.
Wow.
The late, great Kevin Von Erichs. They love it, trying to get the crowds on their feet. Locks it. Locks another one. Super Irish whip. Big back on your drop.
He got some air there.
Tilt the world. Backbreaker. Oh, he's getting higher.
No one gets higher than the Grim Reaper.
Sabotage was pretty good, man. I already retired a couple of years ago.
He's hanging in there with one of the best in the business right now.
Well, don't sell Sabotage short. I mean, he is a...
Oh, well, what are you trying to say, short? What are you trying to say, Earl?
No, I didn't mean
it. Yo, you better watch out. He's looking at the DVD. There's a Swanton Bong!
Oh my god, Swanton Bong!
Yeah, you can walk the ropes too. It was just us two, but I also managed like six other guys too, off and on.
Oh, it's a tornado DDT.
Look at the impact on that tornado DDT.
He knocked his bandana. Oh, he still looks like he's 1-2. I thought that was it.
I gotta soon play the video with me on guest commentary for a little while. It's pretty funny.
Oh, baseball slide. I'm surprised. Are you surprised that Jason Static and Joe Stone Delicious aren't out here?
I am surprised. Man.
Well, I guess Jason Static does have a big match.
Money wasn't bad. He didn't really do it for the money. He did it for the experience and the love.
Why is Samoa in the mat? Caught in midair. Sabotage paid the consequences.
Oh, I would love to do something with Joey Numbers. Sure.
Catapult himself back. Oh, no!
And that is hard.
Onto the concrete for the VFW Hall. Oh, my goodness. Is he okay? Oh, my goodness. Slow to get up. That could be it. Rolls him in.
It's about a minute left.
They need to face it.
Oh, nice. Nice leg drop. Here's the girl. One, two. Wow. Look at Jay Lover and Don Tony strategizing right there. Jay Static just like threw Sabotage to the wolves, quote unquote, you know, so to speak. Oh, he knocked off the beanie. He knocked off the do-rag. Oh, he's going for a ride. It's a crucifix. Oh, it's a spike DDT. Reaper going up top.
See how I got in the ring with the rope? You had to do that, learn that, otherwise you trip. You'd be surprised.
Trying to work his way back up the ladder to be the number one contender for Jay Static's BPW Championship.
I still think Static can do it. So get out here. Don't pick that partner.
They just threw him to the wolves.
All right. There you go. So are we ready to do this contest? Very easy, very easy. I am going to show you a picture of the person. And I'm going to play you a 1-minute audio clip of this person talking to Hulk Hogan. And it's mostly gibberish. All I want you to do is tell me who this person is. And you have to write his entire name, not just the first name or a last name or middle name if it applies. And if you win, you get your choice of this. Spin the wheel twice, trying to keep the lights out of it. There you go. I'll spin the wheel twice. And whatever the prize lands on the two times, you win that. So if you land on 50 and then land on 20, you get $70. You could have two spins of that, or inside here, there are 100 balls labeled 1 to 100. If you want, instead, I could roll this and pull two balls out random. And add those two numbers together, and what that adds up to, that's your prize. Or, if you want, you can get one spin and one ball. So to summarize, you get either two spins or two balls or one spin and one ball. Very easy. We'll keep this over here for now. I wish you good luck. Get ready. I hope this answer is in 30 seconds, not even. So, I want you to tell me. And if people don't get it right away, then I will play to you 1 minute of gibberish. Are you ready? Tell me who this person is sitting next to Hulk Hogan. Who is that sitting next to Hulk Hogan? Should be very easy. Tell me who is that. If you still can't figure it out, maybe this will refresh your memory.
Yo, yo, yo.
We got it.
Oh, this guy, he has no clue what's going on with this guy.
We got it. We got it. I figured it would be pretty quick. Come on. I wanted to make it easy today. Wanted to make it easy. So VJ gets it. Yes, it is Chuck Zito. Come on, I made it very easy this time around. Some people say Sylvester's, hey, yo. That's supposed to be Rocky's license plate behind me. Southpaw, hey, yo, Apollo, hey, hey. Chuck Zito was definitely a badass mother. Seriously. So VJ gets it. Now, as far as the cash, you could have your choice of PayPal, or you could have your choice of an Amazon e-gift card, you know, the digital gift card, or I could send you a money order. That's your choice. So VJ, now the decision is, we could take Chuck off the screen. Do you want two spins, or do you want two balls? Or do you want one spin and one ball? I'll leave it up to you. See, when I do these really fast ones, you got to get in there quickly. Maybe next time we'll pick two winners and we'll let them have one each. So let's see. What does VJ decide? Now, VJ, if you don't want the prize, you know, you could bypass it and I'll keep it for myself. VJ already has a pair of balls. So he wants the spins. So you know what? Just out of curiosity, you could actually see it on the video. I am going to open this up, and I'm going to pull out two balls, and let's see what you would have won. Wow. That says $96. Oh. A pair of my balls just fell, and $11. So you would have gotten 96 and 11. There you go. So that would have been 107. I will pick up my balls later. All right. So I'm going to spin the wheel twice. Now, as you see, if it lands on something with a spin, you get an extra spin on top of it. You got the $10 with the spin. You got a $5 with the spin. I got new markers, by the way. I only changed the white ones, but it'll look a lot better next time around. So let's see what he gets. Good luck. He gets two spins, maybe more. So wherever it lands on. You got $20 so far. 20 bucks. See, 20. We spin it one more time. You got another $20. So there you go. Yeah, see 40? And just so you don't think it's rigged, I'll spin it again to show you it doesn't land on $20 every time. See, that would have been a 50. So... 40 bucks, my friend. 40 bucks. So definitely email me, dontony@dontony.com. I know your contact already, but let me know if you want an e-gift card, PayPal, or money order. So, yeah, we'll do it again next week. So anyway, we'll start wrapping this up. I want to play you the last 3 or 4 minutes. Now, all you're going to see here is what we did to make the kids feel better so they knew that the dog was okay. Sabotage, when we went to the back, felt absolutely terrible what happened. Was so, so upset about it. So he agreed to let us do a Bronco Buster using the dog and the dog's nuts. And if you actually look closely, Sabotage actually puts his head into it so it looked as realistic as possible. Now, did he really get a set of balls in his mouth? No. But, you know, he put his head a certain way so everybody around ringside believed that the dog did the Bronco Buster. It was just a lighthearted moment so everybody would go home happy. And then at the very end, oh, by the way, Danny, I never got any Facebook message, and I realized that the Facebook page I have for the shows doesn't accept messages. So I think the best thing for you to do is email me, dontony@dontony.com, or DM me on Twitter, and I will be happy to answer whatever you wanted to know about the network cards. But I realized, I went to Facebook the other day, and I said, wait a minute, the page doesn't take messages. So unless you're sending it to another page that I'm not aware of. So, but, and yeah, I kept saying bulldog, pug. It's a pug. For some reason, I always mix the two up. But at the very end, I boosted the brightness a little bit so you could see a little bit outside because they didn't have any lighting outside. But at the very end, and again, this is only a 4-minute clip. You'll see 2 minutes of the dog, and then you're going to see 2 minutes of us just hanging out outside. Number one, you will get to see the first time ever that stereo system that I had that I always talked about in my white Lincoln. You'll see the white Lincoln. You'll see the stereo system. But most importantly, you're going to see us just hanging out. And this last 2 minutes of us hanging out outside is what I miss about doing the wrestling more than anything else. It's awesome managing. It's awesome taking bumps. It's awesome doing moves. It's awesome having matches. It's awesome, you know, being around people, fans, friends, ringside. But that 2 minutes of hanging out outside, just enjoying some tunes, you'll see what I'm talking about. And yes, my stereo had a screen, a TV screen in the trunk. Enjoy. Like I said, it's only 4 minutes long, but this is enjoyable. Okay, here we go.
Submission move. He got arrested then.
And it just said delicious.
Oh my God, he tap.
Rallying.
Joseph Delicious. And Sabotage wanted to tap. He's so close to the rope. So close. Inches away. He's got it. Oh, he's tapping. Oh. Oh, he passed out in pain.
Watch.
Unbelievable. Wow. A successful title defense by Jay Static. Impressive. Quite impressive. Defeating the big man, Mac Daddy Flex.
Now here they come. Watch.
I know that that has something to do.
Watch my what I have behind my back.
Oh wait! Here's OZHB. The OZHB right here.
I got something behind my back.
HBOZ.
I think so.
Or it's H. I don't know. Reaper.
Wait, what is this?
Big Carmine.
sound of the cannoli plate. We've seen that before. Oh, the dog. Big Karma going.
I slid out of the ring pretty good.
We're seeing static and just so delicious.
No.
A steak face. A steak face. He's
it got such a pop.
Oh, he's doing it himself. Oh, my goodness. That was pretty dirty. Look at Karma. Karma looks happy.
He looks happy.
My goodness, Payback's a female dog.
A female dog.
Payback is a female dog.
But I think Carmine was a male dog.
Oh man.
And Sabaton found that out first time.
Oh my gosh! He does too!
I like the dog. He was a cute dog. Alright, check us out outside.
The furious ball. What a night of action.
This was awesome. Watch.
Queen Carlos
and I'm Irma Coffin.
And for Eduardo and for Jerry Fitzwater and all the other guys in the back. What a great night of action. Thank you. Good night.
January 19th.
Don Tony. Look, could you get a shot of this car? Look at that. I'm out of here. It's freezing cold.
That's a wrap.
Get out of here.
W, Carmine taking over. We got the eye towels with us. It's over. We don't care about no freaking juice heads that are running rampant. We're coming for the goal. We got the back on
the world, right?
Greatest man.
There he is, right there.
Anything else before you go? Fucking Bush, too. Get out of here.
Get your ass out of here.
Man, that brings back memories. Seriously. It's awesome, man. I miss those times. That's why, like I say, you know, you look back on it. And how long are we playing this footage now? 2 months? About 2 months? You know, I realized I was doing this for 5 to 6 years. So we got tons of footage to still to share. We just hit the surface. We just broke the surface. But, you know, looking back on it, and I don't want to cause any controversy, but I think certain podcasters out there, I don't think ever wanted this to be brought out there. Because now actually seeing all the stuff that I actually did, yes, still just a very, very tiny amount. But the fact that I did anything, now that separates what the Donzilla Army has done and what everybody else has done. And I tell you, I miss this more than anything else. You have no idea. So, thank you, Rain, with that video, DT Teflon confirmed. Hey, I enjoyed some hip-hop. Did you, saw that was Jay-Z, right? The music video, that was my screen, that was my stereo. I sold that car about maybe 7-8 years ago. I had a black LSE, which I still own now, and a white one. That freaking car was pimped out, man. Inside it had TV screens, holy, and I have video of it, too. But you don't know the feeling, man, just after the show, standing outside, cranking some music, you know, having a drink, and just that's something. Honestly, you can't compare that and hanging out on Twitter all night long. So hopefully we get COVID out of here as quickly as possible. So, you know, we could start enjoying ourselves and being able to even just stand outside with a bunch of friends just cranking some tunes. But, yeah, I'm glad you're all enjoying this. I'm glad you're enjoying it because it's fun. It's fun. You know, to think that I had that stored away for 13 years, 14 years, 17 years, because the first things I ever did was in 2003. And I did it from 2003 to about 2008, 2009, you know? And I got to get that footage from Mr. Big. And if anything ever exists from Fat Frank's Jersey All-Pro when he had that school, because what I used to do is light the cigar. And I would actually pretend to put the cigar in out in somebody's face. But meanwhile, I'm basically putting the cigar out in my own hand, but crumbling it and then rubbing part of it in the person's face. Not the hot part, but the visual was outstanding. So, tell you, I miss it. I miss it. But, you know, we get to enjoy it. Better late than never, right? So with that said, everyone, we're at 2 hours. I'm going to shut this down. But don't forget, tomorrow I will be right back here with your SmackDown recap. I will give you the quarter hour ratings for AEW and NXT. AEW did 757 this weekend. NXT did 678. You know, yesterday, first time ever, I forgot to do the ratings predictions. So I honestly, looking back, I don't know what I would have predicted. But AEW went down again. NXT increased a little bit. But neither one of those promotions should be happy with those numbers. 757 for AEW. NXT, 678. 2 weeks leading into two nights of arguably the best card that they've put out to date. That's very unimpressive. So tomorrow we'll do the ratings. We'll talk SmackDown. I'll give you my thoughts a little bit about what's going on with the Hall of Fame. I will say this before I go about Great Khali going in the Hall of Fame. Let me say it like this. Khali was never one of my preferred wrestlers. Didn't like him that much. Somebody that big obviously limits their ability substantially. And for his size, you know, he did what he could. Was not very good in the ring, let's be honest. But WWE has a very important relationship with the country of India. And Great Khali, behind the scenes, has been doing a lot for WWE in India. So if you're just going to base the Hall of Fame strictly on what you see on camera, I could understand why people think that Khali maybe should not have been put in this soon. But honestly, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, he is, you know, a character, a larger-than-life character, has done a lot for the WWE behind the scenes. And believe it or not, there are quite a few wrestling fans, especially overseas, that like the fact that Khali is being put in. So, you know, would I put it on the level of some people that I've been against in the past? I don't know. But, you know, yes, Austin Nance, you nailed it. Great Khali is a great ambassador for the WWE. And I personally think that any Hall of Fame, baseball, football, wrestling, whatever it is, entertainment, music, I think it's not just the performance outside the ring. I think it's also what you do, performance inside the ring. I think it's what you do behind the scenes as well. Yes, Khali, very early on, a little bit of controversy, you know, very early in his career. We don't need to go there. But, you know, hey, he's going in the Hall of Fame, and that's that. You know, if you don't like it, I totally respect anybody out there. I don't have a problem with it. He just wouldn't have been on my list of, like, the next 50 going in. But I understand Khali's net worth. And that might be a little bit of a boring stance to take, and it might be a politically correct stance to take, but whether you feel it's politically correct or boring or a little bit lame, my view, it is the reason why he's going in. You know, you can't try to twist it, and it's not strictly on performance in the ring. Guy has done a lot behind the scenes, and I got news for you. Whoever inducts him, if they are doing that this year, I think you're going to learn more about what Kali has been doing outside the squared circle than anything else. Maybe they'll do a segment on the WWE Network or Peacock in the future. But I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know, you know, Kali's WWE career didn't end simply with his work in the ring. He's been doing a hell of a lot behind the scenes. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's an ambassador to WWE. WWE has a very important relationship with India. And India is super proud that Kali is going in. You know, India's treatment of Kali, I wouldn't put on the levels of Hulk Hogan, you know, back in the day. But Kali is really, really respected and loved in the country of India. It's a big deal for them. Put it this way. I know a lot of you, almost all of you, have heard how important for the Latin community to see Bad Bunny doing what he's doing and enjoying it so much that you have people that are watching wrestling that aren't even wrestling fans. Bad Bunny's work in WWE, if you've come across that, it's similar to how India feels about Great Khali, maybe even stronger. So, yeah, so he's going in. You know, again, you know, I say this without trying to spark controversy, but for the people out there that think the WWE Hall of Fame is a joke, then you really should have nothing to say about Khali going in. You already think it sucks. You already think it's a joke. You already think that it's ridiculous. So putting Khali in should just, you know, put an exclamation point on how you feel. It's even more of a reason not to talk about it, right? But yet, those people will talk about it more than anybody else. You just think how much that sucks. You got people out there that will talk more about something negative than something positive. You know, instead of bringing up the things that they do like, they rather spend most of their time bringing up the things they don't like. And that's why I stay away from it as much as possible. So, but anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We'll pick up that conversation tomorrow in the comment section. Comment on anything you'd like to talk about as far as what you saw in tonight's show. And I will definitely respond. Don't forget, for my friends, the family, members here, I will do the second half of the members-only Q&A Saturday afternoon between 1 and 2 p.m. Eastern, if you want to call in. And tomorrow night, Friday night, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, I'll be right back here. SmackDown recap, AEW NXT quarter-hour ratings, and a few other tidbits. So, much love, everybody. And before you go, as I always say, if you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. Smash that like button. And I will catch you all Friday night after SmackDown. So be well, everybody. Take care. Much love. And I am outie.